Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hi, welcome back. Quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle here. We are going into the second half of the show, going back to our player review series, which was on a couple-week hiatus as we broke down the blue-white game, looked ahead to that. We talked some recruiting. We also have some recruiting class re-rankings to get back to. That'll be coming up a little bit later this spring and summer. In this segment, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio, by the way, bleed blue and white, drink blue and lights. We are looking just at the backgrounds of these guys and what we think their role can be in 2019, what we think the future holds for them just from a pure ability standpoint. So it's a good dialogue. We've got three players that we do each week. We're going down the roster in numerical order. So we're at number six. We start early in this process. We got plenty more to come. You can check them all out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. So leading off today, we did a couple weeks ago, we did the defensive number six, Cam Brown, which was a good conversation. Now we do the offensive number six, Justin Shorter, another interesting conversation as we look ahead to the fall, where he's one of the top guys that people are circling and wondering about and thinking that, you know, a big emergence from him has a chance to change Penn State's fortunes a little bit. And I think that's fair. He's a redshirt freshman this year. Injuries have been such a big thing, though, Greg, that it's hard to really analyze and figure out what Justin Shorter brings to the table at this very moment.
Yeah, it is hard to say because he was, you know, the word was dinged up, I believe, during summer camp last year. He didn't enroll early, so that put him behind the eight ball. The injury further put him behind the eight ball, and he had some moments where he flashed a little bit in 2018, but let's be honest, it wasn't the season as a freshman that a lot of people were expecting he would have. If you go back to the recruiting rankings, he was considered one of the top players in the country at his position and just overall, and with good reason. I mean, he was a talented kid who clearly had projected potential to start maybe in year one. That didn't work out. Play a whole lot and contribute in year one. Unfortunately, that didn't work out either. You go back and look at the receivers ranked around him. You know, the one that always jumps off the page to me is, you know, the Clemson kid who was, name escapes me at the moment, but the kid from Clemson who had a tremendous national championship game. You know, he was a guy that I think a lot of fans thought, you know, would make an impact. Or, you know, Shorter's a guy a lot of fans thought would make an impact. It didn't necessarily work out. But I think he is going to turn the corner this fall and really step up into the spotlight. We'll see if he can stay healthy, though. That's going to be the first priority, quite frankly, as Penn State moves into the Jared Parker era as the receivers coach. Justin Ross was that Clemson kid's name I could not think of. He was the number seven rated receiver in the class of 2018. Justin Shorter, of course, number one.
Greg doing the talking Google. The famous Greg Pickle move.
And when you forget which class Justin Shorter's in, it doesn't really help your cause. So a little bit of a delay there, but we got it.
So Greg was working through that as he was bringing the knowledge. It's always impressive. So Shorter at 6'4", 225. Franklin has said really a couple things that stood out to me about him through the spring. First, you know, the mention of the little fine points, you know, getting to the top of his routes, getting in and out of his breaks, the little technique stuff that can really hold you back as a young player. The fact that Shorter didn't arrive until last summer, the fact that he was dinged up really what seemed to be through the early part of the season, you just don't have much of a chance at that point. You're behind the eight ball and it's hard to recover from that. So now the hope is he comes out of the spring, he's healthy to start the summer, he starts to iron out those finer points, and if all that stuff happens, which is not a stretch by any means, given his just raw ability. And not only his raw ability, I think what helped him stand out as he was making this big breakout through the camp circuit a couple summers ago was his attitude and coachability seemed to be big, strong points in his favor. So to me, that just means stress patience a little bit with him. Let him get healthy. Let him get settled. My prediction for him, for whatever it's worth, is that He won't be a big factor in the first half of the season, but you'll see him start to surge a little bit in the second half of the season. And to me, you know, the name that comes to mind when you talk about that trajectory, this happened for Chris Godwin as a true freshman,
yeah,
as opposed to a redshirt. But that's exactly what Chris Godwin did, that first big bowl game. I didn't really know that he would have a monster bowl game every bowl game he was in. But right, that first big bowl game set the stage for him to have a big career. That's what I see coming for Justin Shorter, where the last 3, 4, 5, 6 games is where he turns it on and becomes who we believe that he could be. But you got to give him some patience to work through that. I would be happily wrong if he out of the gates is a big force, but I don't really see that happening just yet.
No, I don't either, Dustin. And the reason for that is just, I guess the one thing I would say is if he doesn't start, who is the starter? You know what I mean? If he's not a guy that earns a first team nod, who is? That's a question we'll have to answer as the season progresses. Here, and I know we're not to his point of the, roster yet, but it's going to be fascinating to see what Daniel George does with that opportunity to take a big step forward as well. Him and Sean Clifford already have combined for a program record 95-yard touchdown pass. That's the longest passing play from scrimmage. Don't you forget it?
I would expect it every game from him.
I would too. I mean, if his average reception total drops below 95, I would say it's probably time to start looking elsewhere.
And if you want to start putting labels on it, I think you can call him a bust on the recruiting trail if he's averaging less than 95.
We're joking, of course. It's probably, yeah, we're joking. It's a joke. No,
we don't expect more than 85. That's the joke.
Right.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're doing our player review series going down through Penn State's roster, looking at the backgrounds of these guys. We just talked for a good while about Justin Shorter. The segment brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Next name up, Will Levis, the quarterback who, you know, it caught my attention earlier in the spring when KJ Hamler, I don't know, it was probably 3 weeks ago or so, 3 weeks ago, where KJ Hamler said, used the word star to describe Will Levis. I don't know about all that just yet. You did see him make a big time throw to Dan Chisena for a long touchdown deep down the field. Kind of showed off that big arm. You knew he was a big time athlete. Mm-hmm. To hear KJ Hamler speak so positively, whether you believe the star talk or not, I did take that as a very encouraging thing for Will Levis's development, that he has that potential.
Yeah.
We don't discuss him very much just because Tommy Stevens and Sean Clifford, you got a competition going on. You have what looks to be your quarterback of the present and your quarterback of the future, mm-hmm, you know, both in that mix. But don't forget about Will Levis is what I think the lesson is right now.
We talk a lot about guys who may have been overlooked as recruits based, yeah, on where they played. I think Levis falls into that category. His arm, man, when he decides to crank it up and throw it, he doesn't care either. He has a little bit of Trace McSorley in him where guess what? If he thinks he can complete a 70-yard touchdown pass, he is going to crank his arm up and fire it and see what happens, yeah, and, you know, kind of throw caution to the wind, which I think is an interesting trait for a quarterback. This is a nice room that James Franklin and Ricky Ronnie have developed. It really, really is. Michael Johnson Jr. and Taquan Robinson are obviously just getting their feet wet and learning the system, but Will Levis, Sean Clifford, Tommy Stevens, that's a considerable three-headed monster at quarterback. And look, I know that we've talked about it before. I don't think it's in Penn State's best interest to play two guys in this season. I don't see that working out, but it is darn good to know you have two quality backups behind him if whoever the starter is goes down.
Yeah, oh, 100%. And, you know, that's a good point about Will Levis being just unheralded for reasons that we can't really understand. But if you remember late, you know, he had one of the opening regional camps where he, yeah, scored the highest spark score of any position. So he can run. He's strong. He can throw it deep down the field, as we saw. He throws it down the field with a little flatter trajectory than obviously Trace McSorley, because he's got a little bit more of a loft trajectory. More of in the Tommy Stevens mold of not getting a ton of air under the ball, which, yeah, I think it's just a style thing and just your arm action kind of thing. I don't think it's positive or negative. That's what looked to me. But a well-placed ball to Dan Chisena, I think he's got a lot of potential. You know, he was, just like Tommy Stevens was, a plan B for Penn State in the recruiting process. Plan A, looking back to 2015, 15 was Brandon Wimbush, who had committed, who you got the feeling not too long after
that. Isn't it amazing to look back on that recruitment and see how that all played out in the end?
Yeah, I mean, really. And, you know, it's interesting, too, with Tommy Stevens coming in as a three-star with the expectation that he would need to wait his turn, as opposed to if you landed Brandon Wimbush, the anticipation will be the expectation was he was going to force his way in. And it all worked out, I think, for the best for Penn State, obviously. In Levis's class, it was Justin Fields. Committed, right. Ended up flipping to Georgia. Now he's at Ohio State. Will Levis was the plan B guy late. And both of them, you know, I know hindsight's 2020, but both of them are such unbelievable plan B guys because they're both these big, strong athletes who can run some and who have the arm to get it done in college. Bravo to Penn State on two occasions with your plan B quarterback. If you don't have a good plan B at that spot, that's going to be tough. You're going to be in a bad spot.
Yeah, I mean, you lose your starting quarterback and you're probably done anyway, but it's good to have at least something behind you knowing what's there.
Yeah, absolutely. One more name here. Marquise Wilson is a guy who enrolled in January, looked to have some bulking up to do. But the thing that stood out to me was he's wiry. He needs to add some more functional play strength. I'll be curious to see, like, I think Keaton Ellis will have the inside edge if you're pushing one or the other, to play right away as true freshman.
Yep.
But Marquise Wilson, ball skills and his ability to go up and get the ball, his temperament as a player was that he's going to create takeaways. He's going to create turnovers. That's going to be his job. He's not looking to bat the ball down. He's looking to make a play on it. I thought when he, you know, him coming along when he is right now, that's what Penn State needed more of. And I think there was a stretch for Penn State where they weren't creating a lot of takeaways in their secondary. And I think Marquise Wilson, I think Keaton Ellis is the same deal. Having both these guys arrive at the same time, they're talented corners in their own right, but I think their ability and their desire to take the ball away can be huge moving forward.
Yeah, 100% agree. And look, this is one of those deals where I know John Reed's been around a long time and been productive. Same with Tre Castro-Field, same with Donovan Johnson. But ultimately, Penn State's done a lot of talking about increasing turnovers the last couple right. years, and in ways it has. I mean, I don't think there's any debate about that. And I think it's been better about going for interceptions and trying to make plays and things like that. But really, when it comes down to it, I think we'll be in agreement here. It needs to be a lot of things with this team need to stop being talk and actually work out in reality. That includes proper and consistent offensive line blocking. That includes proper and consistent safety work. So, our corner work and turnovers and things like that to really try and hit a high point this year.
All right, I'm sure we'll tackle some of this stuff. Ask Greg is our fourth and final quarter. These are Penn State football and recruiting questions from you guys. We'll take a quick break and be right back with that.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. Hey, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.